the Gospel Hour, making known to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gospel Hour. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, inviting you to stay tuned with us as we bring you some more beautiful music today and continue with our verse-by-verse study from the Book of Acts, as preached and taught by my late father, Dr. Oliver B. Green. And we'll get to that in just a moment, but I want to remind you, if you're trying to think of that perfect Christmas gift for someone, look no further than the Gospel Hour Literature Brochure, or visit us on the website to see all of the wonderful Christian helps we have for you. Well, right now, we're going to hear At the Cross from our featured album this week, Under His Wings. Enjoy the music and then the message.
Now, here with our message, Oliver B. Green.
Lead us, our gracious Heavenly Father, as we open Thy Word to study today. Honor Thy Word. We read, our Father, that 5,000 men were saved when Peter preached. They heard and they believed the Word. Now, Father, surely there are many thousands listening to the Gospel Hour today. And as I read the Word of God, we do not ask for 5,000 souls today. We wish, our Father, we could see 100,000 saved. But surely, the same God who honored the Word as Peter preached the Word, He is our God. So we claim honor for Thy Word. And as we read and study the Word today, save souls for Jesus' sake. Amen. I'm reading where I left off yesterday. Now, I discussed that verse 4, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed. Acts 4:4. And the number of men was about 5,000. Now today in verse 5, and it came to pass on the morrow, the next day, after 5,000 were saved. No wonder the rulers got busy. It came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas, the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. Well, the dignitaries were there. I tell you, brother, there were a great crowd of religious dignitaries and officials and dictators and religious bosses present. And when they had set them in the midst, now down here in verse 3, they put them in jail. At evening tide, that is, at sundown, they put the fellows in jail, and now they bring them in the next day, and they set them in the midst and ask, by what power or by what name have you done this? these religious leaders, who should have known the power of God and the power of the gospel and the power of the name of Jesus, were totally and entirely ignorant of God's power. Now listen, beloved. I say this in love. I'm not sarcastic. But today, many of the outstanding would-be religious dignitaries know nothing of the power of God. Now, some of the outstanding religious leaders of our day, they believe in form and formalism, and they believe in program. But when it comes to miracles, as God works miracles, they know nothing about it. So they ask Peter and the other fellows, they said, "Now, by what name or power have you done this? How did you do this?" Of course, they're speaking of the man back here who was healed, who had been carried at the to the gate, and he had been there many times begging. They all knew him. And so they ask. Now watch this. "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers and people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all." Now he said, "I want the last one of you to get it and get it straight. Hear me now." Peter said, "I want all of you to know that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must," M-U-S-T, "must be saved." Now, let's go back and see what we have, and we'll discuss these verses, as many of them as time permits today. So, on the next day, now they were put in jail the night before, and the next day they were brought in before the dignitaries. And the number one question was, by what power or in what name did you make this man whole, or how did this man become healed or made whole? Now, notice verse 8. "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them." Quite a different man. You remember he cursed and denied Jesus three times the night of the crucifixion. Now, after Pentecost, Peter is another person. He is bold as a lion, and he does not mince words. He speaks in clear, understandable language, and he is speaking to the highest court of his day. I mean, these fellows could have commanded, or they could have sentenced him to death, and they could have put him in jail and kept him there until he rotted in jail, and he knew that. He knew that. But in spite of it, Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined concerning good deeds." Now, let me stop right here. Beloved, I've already been misunderstood, and I knew I would be. You remember the first day that we started this book of Acts? I told you, I pled with you to get your Bible and follow me in the Word of God. Now, I said the first broadcast, and by the way, I tape every word I say on the radio. I know what I say. We keep a copy of it. Every word that I speak on the radio is taped, and we keep it in our library of tapes. I have hundreds and hundreds of sermons on tape that we've kept, and I keep them to know. In other words, if I'm called, if somebody writes to me and they tell me, "You said this or said that," I just go back and get the tape, and I see what I said. Now, I know what I've said in the book of Acts, and I'll say what the Holy Ghost leads me to say, and I'm going to preach this book just like I preach all other books, line upon line, verse upon verse, and we're going to compare Scripture with Scripture. Now, this is not another Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, 120 Jews were baptized into the body of Christ, the New Testament church, by the Holy Ghost. Now, they were in the upper room as instructed. Jesus told them where to go, what to do, and they went and they waited until the day of Pentecost was fully come. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the Holy Ghost came, the sound of a mighty rushing wind, cloven tongues like as of fire sat on each of them, and they spake with other tongues as the Holy Ghost gave them utterance. And every man heard the gospel in their own language. They heard the message in their own language, and there were people there from every nation under heaven at that time. Now, here we read that Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, this is not another baptism. Listen, beloved, I believe the Bible. But let me tell you something. I've said this so many times on the radio. I'm not trying to prove anything. I'm not trying to prove Baptist doctrine because I don't believe everything that all Baptists believe. Now, there are many kinds of Baptists. There are many kinds of holiness. There are many kinds of Methodists. There are many kinds of Presbyterians. I'm talking about different groups and sects. Now, I'm not trying to prove anything as we study the book of Acts. I'm just preaching the Word of God. That's all. I'm not defending anybody, and I'm not attacking anybody. If you think I am attacking your doctrine, then you're wrong. You're judging me, and you'll give an account to God. You'll be called in the judgment to give an account for judging me. I'm not attacking anybody. I'm not preaching against anybody, and I'm not preaching for anyone. Now, beloved, Pentecost was a fulfillment of prophecy spoken in Joel. The day of Pentecost will never be repeated any more than the day of, that is, Calvary. Pentecost will never be repeated any more than Calvary. Now, wait a minute. I'm talking about the experience that those men had, and of course women, Mary was there, the mother of Jesus. The Holy Ghost came as a mighty rushing wind. Cloven tongues sat upon each one of them. Now that was the fulfillment in part of the prophecy of Joel. Now the crucifixion of Jesus was the fulfillment of all the prophecies in the Old Testament concerning the lamb that was led to the slaughter. Calvary was a one-time event, never to be repeated. Jesus offered one sacrifice once for all forever, never to be repeated. Now, Pentecost was a fulfillment of a prophecy. The Holy Ghost did come on the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Ghost has been here ever since. Pentecost will never be repeated, but the power of Pentecost is here. Now, listen very carefully. There is one baptism, there are many fillings. Beloved, I've gone to a service in the church, in the tent. I've even come to the radio. When I was so weak and I felt so badly in my body that I did not see to save my life how I could deliver a message. Especially in meetings, in churches, in the tent, in auditoriums during the past 32 years that I've been preaching the gospel. There have been days, there have been nights when I just did not feel in my body that I could deliver a sermon. But when I went to the pulpit, I always pray, of course, and God would fill me with the power of the Holy Ghost, and I've delivered a message with power when physically I didn't have any power. I should have been in the bed, but God gave me power. Now, what I'm saying is this: one baptism, many fillings, every born again, blood washed, redeemed child of God has the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, friends, it doesn't make any difference what anybody teaches or preaches. 1 Corinthians 12:12 and following is just as plain can be. We're all baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Ghost. We've all been made to drink into the Holy Ghost, but all Christians are not filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, what do I mean by that? Paul said to the Ephesians in Ephesians 5:18, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost." Now, he said, singing to yourselves in psalms and making merry in your heart. Now, it is one thing to be born of the Holy Ghost, another thing to be filled by the Holy Ghost. One thing to be born of the Holy Ghost, another thing to be empowered by the Holy Ghost. Now, Jesus told these disciples, "Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Now, here's Peter just a few days after Pentecost. Just a few days after Pentecost, he's filled with the Holy Ghost. And we'll read again and again in the book of Acts where the apostles were filled with the Holy Ghost. I never, in other words, in my meetings, I never attempt to go behind the sacred desk and deliver God's Word without asking God's Holy Ghost to take complete control of my mind, my heart, my body. I pray for God to fill me with the Holy Ghost every time I preach. And every minister should do that. And I'm sure God's preachers do that. So the baptism of the Holy Ghost is one thing. The filling of the Holy Ghost is altogether another thing. Now, I know it's true that on the day of Pentecost, our Bible reads that they were all filled. But you know, Jesus said not many days hence, he said, John said, I baptize you with water, but John said, he that cometh after me will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And Jesus told him in Acts 1 to tarry, and not many days hence they'd be baptized in the Holy Ghost. And so Pentecost, without a doubt, was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, Peter here is filled with the Holy Ghost, and he has holy boldness, and he delivers the message of God with holy boldness to the very crowd that nailed Jesus to the cross. He said, if we this day... Now notice who he's speaking to. He's speaking to Annas, Caiaphas, Alexander, to the children, people in Jerusalem. He's talking to Israel. And he said, if we be this day examined of the good deed done on the impotent man by means we made him whole, be it known unto you and all the people of Israel, be it known unto you rulers, all of you, and every person in Israel, I want you to know, he said, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, he was the hated Nazarene. You know, they said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Jesus was the hated Nazarene. But now Peter said, I want you to know that it's not another Jesus. It's the same Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth, his name hath made this man. Let me read it now. Jesus of Nazareth, whom ye crucified. Now, bless your heart, Peter. Well, back yonder, you know, when they arrested Jesus and Peter sat by the devil's fire, and one of them said, you're one of them. He said, no. And then another. And he cursed and he said, I don't even know the man. Now, the same man, Peter, the same apostle, but after Pentecost, after he was baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't mean he wasn't saved before Pentecost. Peter was saved before Pentecost. All the apostles except Judas were saved before Pentecost. But now, Peter is filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. And the very gang that frightened him and caused him to deny Jesus and curse and swear that he never knew him. Now he looks him straight in the face and he said, you very fellows murdered Jesus. You killed him. You nailed him to a cross. You crucified him. But God raised him from the dead. Even by him, that is, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus who came out of Nazareth, and you fellows crucified, it is in his name that this man is standing before you whole. A man that had been a beggar, a cripple from his mother's womb. Now, in the name of Jesus and through the name of Jesus, he stands here perfectly whole. Let me point out again, lest I forget later, Peter preached the resurrection. Now, you know, the Sadducees didn't even believe in a resurrection. And I pointed out back here in verse 1 of chapter 4, and as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved. That is, they were exceedingly troubled. They were exceedingly disturbed because they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Now, the Sadducees didn't even believe in a resurrection, and I pointed out that day that there are entire denominations today that do not believe in the resurrection. But I say today, as I said that day when I used that verse, I say that you will believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus, or you'll spend eternal lake of fire, because it is a divine imperative that you believe in his resurrection. If there be no resurrection, then my preaching is vain, your faith is vain, and we're still in our sins, and all who've died are hopelessly lost and gone forever if there be no resurrection. But thank God, Jesus, the first fruits, did rise again, and they who belong to Jesus by faith in his shed blood and finished work, when he comes the second time, that is, in the rapture, all believers will be raised incorruptible. Now, Peter preached the resurrection here. He preached it on many occasions. But notice his boldness. He pointed his finger in their face and he said, you crucified him, but God raised him. Death could not hold him. It was not possible that death should hold Jesus. Now, he said, and I won't have time to deal with this completely today because it's a tremendous verse of Scripture. This is the stone. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Now, Let me tell you, beloved, Peter preached that day with holy boldness. He did not mince words. He did not apologize. He did not sugarcoat his message. He looked them straight in the face. He told them exactly what they had done. He told them exactly how this man had been healed and blessed. And he told them exactly what they must do if they hoped to see God in peace. Now, let me use the time that I have left for the message today to bring this thing down home to our hearts and apply it to our own heart and to our own church and to our own community. And let me ask you, are you a spiritual coward? That's what Peter was before Pentecost, a spiritual coward. Now, it's altogether possible to be born again and not be a witness. It's altogether possible to be born again and be spineless. Now, I'm not talking about a braggart, and I'm not talking about holier than thou, and I'm not talking about a bully. I'm just talking about a person who has backbone, they have convictions, and they witness for Jesus. In other words, if someone begins to blaspheme and take God's name in vain, you don't drop your head and let it go on and turn your back and not stand up for Jesus. Now, I don't mean that you do it in an ugly way, but I mean you just say to that person, "That's my Jesus you're cursing. That's my God. I love him and I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't curse my God and curse my Jesus." I mean, you see, we ought to take a stand for Jesus. Jesus stood up for us. Jesus suffered shame and misery and agony and insult. Brother, they did everything to Jesus they could. They called him everything insulting that they could call him. They accused him of everything that they could accuse him of. He bare all of this for us. And in this day and hour, we are his witnesses and we should stand up for Jesus. Now, Peter did it here. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. When I say, "Preacher, how can I be filled with the Spirit?" You can be filled with the Spirit if you will sincerely ask the Lord to empty you of everything of this world, the flesh, selfishness, and ask him to take out anything and all things that would hinder you in being an effective witness, a bold witness for Jesus. And then ask God to fill you. Now, if you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit, Romans 8:9. You have the Holy Spirit if you're born again. But that doesn't mean that he has full control of you. Present your body, your spirit, your body, your mind, your heart, your hands, your feet, your eyes, your ears. Present everything you are, everything you have to Jesus, and ask him to empty you and then fill you with the precious Holy Spirit and give to you holy boldness. Now, this is not a second work of grace or a second baptism. This is a child of God yielding soul, spirit, and body to Jesus, a living sacrifice to be used. Father, bless every person who desires a closer walk with Jesus, a more effective life for Jesus. Fill everyone with the Holy Spirit who seeks to be a soul winner in Jesus' name. Amen.
Friends, this is David Green once again, and before we close, I want to tell you again about our gift offer C. Now, I know many of you have already heard me talk about this offer, and I hope that many, many of you have already taken advantage of the offer and written us, called us, or gone to the website to place your order for our gift offer C. But if you haven't, listen closely, and I'll tell you all about it, and I know you will want this offer. Gift Offer C contains three separate items, and it's available to you in return for your donation to the Gospel Hour in the amount of $35 or more. Please send more if you can. You can send $40, $50, or even more. I urge you to do so to help keep the Gospel Hour going strong for our Lord. Pray about it. Ask the Lord's guidance and do as he directs. But if you can send a donation of at least $35 and ask for gift offer C, I'm going to send you first a new Bible that we just learned about recently, and we're very excited about it and we're anxious for you to have it in your own home. It is the Thin Line Large Print King James Version Bible. Now, two important things about it. Of course, the most important, it is the King James Version. We would not have any other Bible but that. But also, it is a thin line. It's not as thick and big as a lot of large print Bibles. And the third most important thing is it is a large print. That's important to me. I'm having a harder and harder time reading small print. So if you know someone or if you yourself need a larger print, this is an excellent Bible for you. And as a Christmas present. Now, it does not have the Scofield notes, but it does have a lot. It has a presentation page. It has subdivision headers. It has a 30 Days with Jesus reading. It is a leather soft binding. Very beautiful, very soft binding. So a great Bible to have. Then we have the book, Our Savior, by my dad, Dr. Green, 182 pages long, three chapters, the work of our Savior, past, present, and future. Finally, a traditional American Christmas, an album of instrumental music, 11 songs in all, such as Silent Night, O Holy Night, Still, 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 What Child Is This, and so on. So to get all of this, just ask for All for C, and send your gift of at least $35. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.